Welcome to Tuesday. Great looking catch up for you. The PM Rich Uncle Mal features.
Yes, he does. I spoke to Aldo. They're selling a house to lend a hand to a young man with six kids. He's not that young, but he's got a house that's being auctioned. You could buy it and help that family out. We spoke to him today. That was good.
And your mate owns a nightclub, which doesn't surprise me at all, but it was that said nightclub that stopped Prince Frederick of Denmark from having a good little alcoholic beverage in Brisbane.
He got in there in the end. What a nightclub it is. That used to be City Rowers. Remember, Ed, in the 80s when the Broncos used to just...
Reign supreme,
I think, would be one word.
The no questions asked place that was City Rowers. It actually features quite... Not heavily, but it's peppered throughout Gordon Tallis's book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that tells you something. Enjoy the catch-up. What a treat. He's back on our show, the most powerful man in the nation, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM live from Point Piper. Good morning, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed. Hello to you, Marto and Robin. All of you there at Triple M, you're good people, and we rock Brisbane collectively.
Yes, we do. Now, sadly, Rich Uncle Mal, the news goes from bad to worse. Those polls, another news poll, another terrible result.
Well, listen, Ed, I won't respond to hysteria about the polls, even if it's coming from my own party. Christopher Pine and I have just got off the rowers after a heavy session, so you'll have to excuse me. No. I'm very sweaty, but Christopher wants to have a word. I'm so cross. Oh, it's Christopher Pine speaking. I'm just really angry that everyone's picking on Malcolm. What the Labour Party don't realise is he's just fantastic. Everyone needs to get off his back. I wish he'd get on mine. I don't mean that rudely. I just like to carry him. Give me the phone, please. Christopher's very much in a bit of a pickle this morning. Okay, Christopher, please. Stop it, Christopher.
Okay. So, Big Mal.
Christopher could really get himself in a lather, especially after a session on the roll.
So what do you guys do to take your mind off politics? What do you do?
Well, Robin, it's a good question. I like to cook for Luce and I. Last night I made a delicious passata, one of my specialities. You need some extra fine virgin olive oil and plump, overripe tomatoes. Some people will use the blender, but I prefer to slowly break down the tomatoes. An Italian tinned, peeled variety will suffice. And, of course, then you choose what herbs and spices you use to make it just right. But, yes, I put on the Hug My Chef, Hug the Chef apron, and we get down to it, and, of course, match it with a nice Sangiovese.
Oh, wow.
Put everyone in the mood for love.
Listen, let's get back to your proper job. What are you going to do to make the Australian people like you?
Well, Marto, I'm at wit's end. I'm up to pussy's bow with the disgruntlement for my government and me. I mean, what do I have to do? Like Bob Hawke, should I scull a beer? Should I try that?
No.
What about standing outside of primary school and giving ice creams to children?
Yeah, a bit weird.
Good old kissing a baby kind of a thing. What about wearing a burqa? Should I try that?
No.
She's getting popular. Like your way. I mean, what? I could make a decision.
Hang on.
I'll tell you what I won't do, and I've tried this before, and that is I won't pull the lever on an early election. I'm just not a lever kind of a guy.
I mean, the lever's there, but I'm not going to pull it. So what tune are you humming at the moment, Richard?
I don't know what you're laughing at. I'm trying to be very serious here. I'm talking about an early election, but what I should be humming is something that will make me popular with the man and woman in the street. What about this? I left my heart to the sappers round Kaysan. And my soul sold with my cigarettes to the black market man. I had the Vietnam cold turkey from the ocean to the silver city. Well, I live in Point Piper, but it's close enough.
You're a normal guy.
And it's only other vets could understand. I've never actually met a Vietnam veteran. I met someone that went to Hanoi on a Contiki tour, but that's about as far as I've gone, really.
You don't talk to people with beards, do you?
Oh, they've got beards, have they? Yes, I don't.
No.
No manky beards up my way. No.
Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, thanks so much for your time.
Before I go, I'd just like to say that Triple M rocks the Titans. I believe there's a job available there, so maybe I'll try my hat in the ring. I won't be pulling the lever, that's for sure.
No, you wouldn't. See ya.
Good on you. Bye now.
In terms of the Gold Coast Titans Rugby League Club, Graham Henry, their coach, rolled the dice and said it's either Hayne or me. And it's a lot cheaper to get rid of Graham Henry, it appears, because the Titans sacked him yesterday afternoon. With the big story, it is on the back page of the Courier Mail. He wrote it. Travis Main from the Courier Mail. Mate, how did it all go down?
Oh, you've moulded two together there, Marto. It's actually Neil Henry, and he's gone from the Titans, mate.
Oh, what did I have? Graham Henry.
That's okay.
Oh, you said Graham Henry. Henry. Oh, sorry, he meant Neil.
All Blacks coach, sorry.
Where's your head at, Marto?
Well, all over the joint. Sorry, mate.
Maybe
we'll pick
get
up,
the
Trav.
All Blacks coach. Maybe I could get the All Blacks coach. They might win a game then.
Maybe the Wallabies could get an All Blacks coach. They might win a game too.
Yeah, it's a pretty ugly situation down here. He's sort of, Neil Henry's, he's taken on his bosses and he's come out second best, so... Look, the axe finally fell yesterday. It was a pretty long, drawn-out saga. It was handled pretty poorly by the club. It took over a week to sort of happen in the end when a lot of people knew it was going to happen. It should have happened a week ago. So, they're looking for a new coach.
And what kind of who are their names that they want, Travis? Who's on their list?
Oh, it'll be a pretty long hit list at the moment. They're going to have to... It's not the most appealing job in the NRL. Like, they're languishing in 14th spot. They've conceded the most points this year. The players, there's a few players that are pretty difficult to manage. So they're going to have to stump up some big bucks, you'd think. Now, Kevvy Walters, he'll definitely be in the mix there, the Queensland Origin coach. But should you walk away from that juggernaut he's got going at the moment to jump on a pretty tough prospect down here? I don't know.
But surely they can't go any lower. Like, isn't this a great opportunity for someone to kind of pick them up at their lowest ebb and say, you know, it's all up from here?
Exactly. That's a good point. And NRL coaching jobs don't come around too often. There's only 16 of them in the whole competition and there's only three in Queensland. So when they pop up in Queensland, I think you need to be able to take them. And Kevvy, he wants to be an NRL coach. He wants to coach a Broncos one day. That's his dream. But, you know, this is a good opportunity to get into the game and sort of really show his worth.
Trav, it's probably time for Kevvy because I can't think of another coach who started after the age of 50 in his first role as an NRL head coach. Can you?
Yeah, there's not too many. Now, I think his stocks are really high at the moment as well. He's done a great job the last couple of years with the Queensland team when many thought he'd fail following Mal Meninga's success. So, in a couple of years, he may not be in the same position. They might lose the next two series Queensland and you never know what will happen then. So,
All right. We'll read more about it. Yes, Robin?
No, I was just going to say, so Travis, yes or no, should Kevvy take it?
I think he should just because NRL coaching jobs don't come around very often, especially in Queensland.
Can I ask a question, Trev? How much does an NRL head coach get paid?
Depends on the club. Now, down here, you're probably looking at maybe about around $400,000.
Right,
a little bit more, but the big ones, you know, the Waynes, the Craig Bellamy's, they're on $1 million+. So,
right, well, Kevvy's surely in that category. I'm just going to put it to you that he'd be taking a pay cut to coach the Titans, because surely we spoke about Gordy Tallis told us, and I'd Kevvy, if you're listening, mate, give us a ring, because I don't want to be crass, but Gordy Tallis was saying Laurie Daly was on $500,000 a year to coach New South Wales Origin, so let's say Kevvy's around there, you adding these up, Robin, and working for Fox Sports. He works every weekend. He works during the week. I don't know, $300,000, $400,000 there.
No, you don't reckon? No.
What do those blokes get?
Not for Fox Sports, not that much, no way.
Oh, for Channel 9, he probably would, yeah. All right, but they'd have to give him $600,000-$700,000, I reckon, to make it worth his while. Why would he do it? Why can't he do both? I thought it was just Mal Meninga was so lazy that he said this is an actual job coaching Queensland.
It's a full-year job. Travis Main, thanks, mate. We'll read more of your stuff in the Courier Mail.
Why would Kevvy want to do it?
Scott of Nudgee, what do you reckon?
Definitely don't take it, Kevvy. You don't need that stress in your life.
What stress? What's the stress's name?
It rhymes with plane.
He's trouble, isn't he? Scott, he seems to be troubled, doesn't he? There was a big article done over the weekend about the many coaches that have seemed to have disappeared around when Jared Haynes in a team. He does seem to be troublesome, does he not?
Yeah, well, they've eliminated a casualty of the problem, which was poor old Neil Henry, and the problem still remains. Whether he cost $200,000, $1.2 million, or $2 million, you've got to eliminate the problem, or the next bloke's just set up for a fail.
Can I just check, did the 49ers coach lose his job after Hayne was there?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
He is an amazing coach killer.
you had a solution, though, Ed, which you said at sort of 5:30 this morning, that you could easily sort him out until next season.
Oh, yeah, chuck him in the all you do is you just make him go and do, like, play local footy or in the under-20s. That's it. And make him say, look, lose weight to play better. And that just refuse to play him. Just keep playing him in the juniors and then he'll just leave.
But you'll keep paying him and he doesn't care. Because he will not get another job.
No, he probably
will never get another job. This is the end.
Dan of Milton, what do you reckon about Kevvy Walters? Should he take the Titans job?
Phones are stuck. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second.
No. Well, Dan was saying he was offering up the question, why can't he do both?
Who'd
which
want
is
to?
An which is an excellent question,
why
but you're right. I don't think you want. No, you don't want to do that.
Oh, man. That's so stressful. Like, what's your motivation? Honestly, what would be your motivation to do both? If it's not about money, why would you? The glory? No.
Well, no, the challenge. The challenge is the big thing. You're taking a team from a basement. The Titans have never made it past the first weekend of semi-finals, if my memory serves me correctly.
Okay. Mm. We've got Dan of Milton. What do you reckon?
Oh, my question to you guys is, why can't he do both?
Well, time, isn't it, Dan? Doesn't he? I mean, we make jokes about the Origin thing, but it does.
Yeah.
For that first part
You've
of the year, it is.
Got 12 assistants.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well,
you've got
Alfie.
Do not give up the Queensland job. He's done a fantastic job, but I think he's the man. He pulls blokes together. But as for Jared Hayne, as you like, great fighter, so no, I wouldn't feed him. But, I think Kevvy's the man for the job. If he's up to it, that's for sure.
Actually, it's a really good point. What happens to Alfie? Does he have to go to the Titans too? Oh, I mean, those two are roomies for, you know, decades.
Well, hold on. Kieran's got a theory, I reckon. Kieran from Wishart, what do you reckon?
Mate, I don't reckon Kevvy needs to take that job because he'll have the big job in 2 years' time when Wayne retires.
And then him and Alfie are back together.
The Broncos. He'll be back in the Broncos, mate. That's where he'll end up. He needs to be there.
Or have the Broncos, is there a world where the Broncos have rung Craig Bellamy and said, hey,
come
just so
back.
You know. You know,
no
it's all serious,
in the world.
Do you reckon?
No way in the world. Broncos won't have Bellamy, mate.
How many years do you reckon Alfie's got in running on the field, Kieran?
Alfie?
Yeah.
Mate, he'll be around till 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will.
That'd be great.
I love it. Thank you, Kieran. And Mandy from Carina. Kevvy Walters, should he take that Gold Coast job?
I reckon he should because if anybody could straighten out not just Jared Hayne but all the boys in that team, I reckon he's a man for the job.
But why would you want to do that, Mandy? You know what I mean? Like he's got kids. He's already dealt with them.
I know. But sometimes you just need the right mentor to pull a person on the straight and narrow. If you have somebody like Kevvy Walters put his heart into that team, I tell you what, I reckon Jared Hayne will have the opportunity to become the good player that he is.
Why don't we listen to if that's the theory then, Kevvy Walters should go and coach Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic.
Oh my God.
Tomic could play fullback for the Titans. He'd do about as well as Hayne at the moment. It'd be great.
And you know what? As much as it's the Titans, they're part of our heart, they're part of Queensland.
Yeah, there's a passionate footy lady Queensland. Talking. There you go.
I bleed Titans.
Yeah. They don't do me. About 7:15 last night on Channel 9, just watching the news, and this ad came on. Well, it's a promo.
I've done things in my past that I'm not happy about. I'm not proud of it one bit.
Sadly, the fairy tale is over, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So it's an ad for a current affair.
Mm.
That was Toddy Russell. Who's Toddy Russell? Anyone remember?
Beaconsfield, Minor.
Yep.
Got trapped under the ground and then got saved after 13 days.
So Kath went, I'm not watching that. She goes, that looks disgraceful. I said, I can't wait to watch that.
Actually, do you know what?
It was bloody rock solid.
That's so funny because I had about three women that I came into orbit with around that time last night and every single woman said the same thing. That's disgraceful. Right. How dare they?
Where are my notes? All I've written here is, now the story went on, okay? I'm not going to play any more audio. All I've written here is, who is rooting Todd Russell? Now,
great question.
That's why they were on a current affair last night to talk about they're getting separated, Todd and Caroline.
Yeah.
And I only know her name because I also
who sits
wrote
to their
that
girlfriend?
Down.
Who sits down with their girlfriends, you know, over a cup of Twinings and says, girls, I've got something to tell you. I've met someone. He's famous. Oh, my God. Is it George Clooney? No, it's not George Clooney. Is it one of the Bachelors? No, it's not. Do you remember Beaconsfield? The slightly less fat one.
With the one with the goatee.
The one with the really terrible goatee and the tiny earrings. Yes. He is all mine.
Okay, but hang on. Do they still live in Beaconsfield?
Well, yes, because they. Oh, well,
ooh,
he
a lot
does.
Of spare. Is there a lot of spare trim in Beaconsfield? Is there?
I think that's the place to go for chicks if you're slightly overweight with a goatee.
It's the Mykonos of Tasmania.
don't have anything to say to this. This is just appalling.
I can see why. And I remember you were having a bit of a sex chat yesterday.
Yeah, I was.
All right.
I was trying to help you.
If you can hang on, I think girls have looked and gone, God, he's got patience. He was down there for 14 days. He can really hang on, Toddy.
Tantric. He can go tantric, old Toddy.
Where do your brains go? These poor people have got on a current affair because they've run out of money, clearly. Well, and so Tracy is back.
They want to throw themselves up with Tracy. The other thing we learnt was Tracy's bum can't fit through a 1.2-metre diameter pipe.
Oh, I thought that was I thought that was a claustrophobia thing.
Well,
I thought
that was.
Oh.
Okay.
Ease her out.
Yeah. God, and Greg Martin.
I can't card him for that either because it is a scientific fact.
Okay, excuse me. I didn't watch the show on purpose.
But that's why Trace stays behind the desk. If she did that show from a pipe, she'd be stuck every night.
From a pipe?
Pipe Joe. Yellow card him now.
Oh, God.
That is a card.
He saw it. He saw it. She got stuck, didn't she?
Yeah, but she got stuck because she was claustrophobic. Oh, my God.
Right away, Robin.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. At times, the episodes can be pretty raw, like Lane Beachley talking about coming to terms with being an adopted child.
And, you know, it's our thoughts that create how we feel about something. You know, our thoughts lead to emotions and actions, and then those actions determine the results that you produce in your life. And I love to refer to the difference between having a victim mentality versus a victor mentality. And the victim mentality is a mentality of, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I was rejected at birth. I can't believe my own mother didn't want me. I can't believe that I feel, why have I been so abandoned, so rejected? I can't believe this is not right. Right. And I don't know what to do about this. And that's the victim mentality.
That's the victim.
The victor goes, all right, I'm not going to go through this for nothing. I'm going to turn this into something positive.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcastone.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Okay, realestate.com.au have come out with a really interesting survey. Now, Australians are considered to be very friendly people and we're supposed to like our neighbours. That would have been the thing that I would have thought, but apparently one in three of us don't.
One in three of us don't like our neighbours?
Yeah, we just don't want to have anything to do with them, don't want to know about them. 10% surveyed admitted to having spied on their neighbours and 15% saying they avoid chatting at all cost. That's not what I thought.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, there's a bit in there, but probably with the rise of inner city apartment living, I reckon that's would have changed things a little bit.
What
but the
do you
other
reckon,
thing,
Ed, what happens in those apartments? Do they hop out of the lift and scurry to their apartment and close the door really quickly? Is that what goes on?
I've lived in inner city apartments in a number of cities around Australia, and that's pretty much always the case because, you know, people, I don't know what it is. There's something about apartment living that you just don't.
Well,
you don't think
about
to say
it.
Hello, I guess.
When you started, like we used to have, and I mean, I grew up, my mum's still in the same house that I grew up in my entire life. Mama Grant lives next door. She has for 50 odd years. And when you ran out of eggs, you'd go and grab one.
How high is your fence? Is it
we
this
have
high?
No fence. In fact,
okay, no fence.
There is a worn path that my sister and I wore between the two houses because we'd go over there and
think
say
about
hello.
The history of Brisbane, of, well, let's say Brisbane suburbs, they're the ones I know. Used to be 1,200 high fences, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now they are now 1,800 high.
Is that
most,
right?
Don't you reckon most fences in Brisbane are 1,800? Which means a 6-foot high person can't see over the top of the fence.
That's sad.
That's the change. Yeah, yes, you can. Perv.
Oh, okay.
So they need a 1,900. No, they need a 2-meter high fence
that.
Around
yeah,
South.
Right. And then I'd wear big shoes.
So yeah, I bet you would.
You never stop me. But
hold on, you know what I've got? You remember I told you? There's got about three. One, two, three. Did Dave? Yeah, I've got three neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been in their suburb, or in the same street, next door or over the road more than 20 years.
The Newmarket Mafia.
That's right. And all friendly and all love. We've knocked all the fences down, but then one guy, I don't know if he knows what I do for a living, doesn't matter. He moved in about 4 years ago and planted bamboo. And this bamboo is 6 metres high. He has tried to completely block. That's just offensive.
He's isolating himself.
He doesn't want to know anything about it. Well, yes, we are probably the painful neighbours. That's true. But you can't do that.
Why? Of course you can.
Gross, sick. Well, that's just ugly. Well, why wouldn't you reach out? He has never. Should I have reached out to him years ago? Maybe I should have.
Yeah. I mean, would you say that you're at war with him? Not yet.
Any time that bamboo, if there's a southerly blows and it goes over my fence, I cut it off.
Do you?
That's the start of a war.
Yeah.
Chris, so the,
well, you're allowed to do that.
Well,
yeah, well. Yeah.
Who said that's bamboo true. Should be banned? Like, it's just rubbish. Build something. You know.
You can't just ban bamboo.
Do you know the ratters from the Brisbane City Council say that that's how rats go from one house to the other across bamboo?
Wow.
And when I had that rat issue, they came and cut down all the bamboo because they're strong enough to bend the bamboo to get from house to house. There you go. There's a contribution.
But are you at war with? Have you
had a mini war, not major one? I'm just in a bamboo war with my
neighbours. Okay, we want to hear about neighbours, people. Do you love your neighbours? Do you hate your neighbours? Are you at war with your neighbours? Are you like Mardo and, you know, declaring a bamboo amnesty on your neighbours?
Brendo, can I just ask you, your neighbours, they like Powderfinger, you were saying.
Whenever, you know, they're getting down and dirty. Well, I've realised whenever they're getting down and dirty.
Oh, you've made that assumption.
The Powderfinger live album comes out.
It's that.
They may be doing aerobics.
They may be.
Maybe.
Naked.
Oh, a bit of Zumba.
Have you seen them naked?
Well, it doesn't matter what I've seen.
Well, speaking of naked, Norm is from Kimura. Norm.
Yes, good morning, boys and girls.
Hello.
What's going on? What's going on with your neighbours, Norm?
A woman who's past 50 who likes to walk around nude. I'm on acreage and I'm thinking there's enough space, but she likes to walk around nude, which is not a good sight for all concerned. On the other side, I've got a young bloke, married family, who's cut all his trees down, he likes to abuse his family. So it's a great setup.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And you live on acreage. You moved out there, I'm guessing, to get away from all of that.
I would have thought she's got a few stories about, this and that. And whenever she gets a chance, the gear's off and she's around the backyard.
You need to put the binoculars down, Norm.
I'm having a look, but it's over 50, it's just
okay.
Not worth it.
No, you've said about the over 50. Thank you, Norm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Aiden, there's nothing wrong with women over 50.
Nothing. Thank you. Aiden of Fairfield, what have you seen with your neighbours? What's going on?
Well, my neighbours, I got a new puppy, and during the day he used to cry a little bit because no one was home. So what my neighbours did was they let him out of my yard and called the Animal Welfare League to come and pick him up. And so I had to go get him out of the pound.
Which cost you money.
Cost me money. I later went round to their house and her mother admitted to me that her daughter was the one who called him and let him out. And that so I don't want to see my neighbours. I don't want to have anything to do with them because I'm afraid of what I'll do.
How much? Well, you don't do anything, Aiden. Don't be silly. How much did it cost, Aiden, to get the dog out of the pound?
All up was about $270 that I had to drop and go ride on a Friday afternoon at 5:30 and get him out because I actually had him up for adoption.
Okay, so Aiden, here's my thing. Did the neighbours say anything to you about the crying dog before they did anything?
No, the thing that annoyed me the most was if they'd come over and had a conversation that something was going on during the day, we could have tried to do something to make this.
Aiden, I'd like you to be a bigger person than they are and go over there and talk to them and try to go, I understand why you did it, and I'd like to reach out to them.
Well, I don't know if I can do that, mate.
No, I saw something on Facebook. It looked really nice that somebody did this. I wouldn't do it, mate. I'd go over there and slash some tyres.
Oh, no, you can't say that. Don't do that, Aiden.
Don't do that, Aiden. Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Some people deserve it.
Okay, heal the world. Mardo, Ed and Robin, New Triple M.
So the Horn-Pacquiao fight was a huge success in Brisbane. Let's not forget it was first mooted in this very studio when Jeff Horn, the boxer, came in with his cousin, Lord Mayor Graham Quirk, and said that, look, there might be a deal done for this Pacquiao fight. It was on, Robin, then it was off when some Dubai tweets came out. Then it was on again, and it was a huge success, and Jeff Horn, with a massive upset, did a great job and won the fight. Now, the talk has been of rematch. There was almost confirmation yesterday, but I've got an official statement. We reached out to the promoters, and Dean Lonergan, who we've had on the show, former second rower, he said events...
I love that. Former NRL second rower.
You have to say it. You have to say it every day.
Well, I wouldn't have known, so
he didn't have a real big offloading game, did he? But he was dynamite in defence.
Well, he's clearly really, got a good business brain.
Real good. Right shoulder defence. Real good.
Events Brisbane Marketing and Tourism Events Queensland. Who knew that was a Tourism Events Queensland? There'd be a job there right now. You know what, Robin? You and I could go get a job down there for 70 grand a year doing not much, I reckon.
Okay.
Are working together in good faith to ensure the rematch between WBO welterweight champion Jeff Horn and former champion Manny Pacquiao is held...
Senator Manny Pacquiao.
Yes, they should say, actually. Is held at Suncorp Stadium in either November or December this year until agreements...
have officially been reached among all parties, the fight will not be confirmed.
Oh.
So they're saying they're still talking about it, but it does sound quite positive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Marto, there's been a bit of to-ing and fro-ing from between the Premier and the Lord Mayor about it.
Well, the Premier backed up because that's her organisation of which you just discussed. But Quirky came and said, apparently during the day, remember yesterday morning, Graham Quirk had said, no, well, we're not putting council money in until you make sure you're telling me that Pacquiao, because he didn't want to see a, you know, $1.5 million
go down the drain. Yeah,
careful Graham. That's what I call him. And he then, in the afternoon, he discussed things with them. They said, yeah, Pacquiao's coming. It'll be cool. So he made it, actually, he made a declaration on Dobbo's show in the Arvo about, you know, at the Triple M Drive show, about Pacquiao was good to go. The fight is on in November. Righto. Palaszczuk's called him out. Right. She's gone, la, la, Quirk got nothing to do with it. I like Quirk. This is him yesterday talking about her when she claimed that what would he know?
I'm in Jeff Horn's blood. Forget the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I added those punch noises.
Did you?
I'm worried. Is anyone else worried? I don't want the fight to happen in Brisbane again because I know, I reckon I know six blokes who went and they describe it as their favourite sporting event this year. They loved it.
Well, can't they just repeat that?
Yeah, I'm worried
about
that.
You can repeat it.
What, no. It was just so special that first time.
Yeah, people will go, did you go to the Horn-Pacquiao fight, the good one or the dud one? You know, because Horn's on it hiding to nothing. Like, he'll...
Well, but what, if he wins again, then doesn't that give him... Like, this was the guy who was earning $100,000 up until he fought him.
But
and
you
now
pay $400 to go to the good one, the first one, or you go to the second
better?
One?
What if he knocks him out? What if he KOs him in the fourth round?
I'd be disappointed.
Part of what was so good about the last one, Robin, was it was a proper boxing fight where two people were trying for 12 rounds. You know, it was like old school boxing. And I sort of agree with Marto. I think it's a wonder... It was such a great event. I just don't know if you can capture that lightning in a bottle twice. You know, I don't know. I'm worried that the second one, as Marto says, won't be as good.
Capture the lightning in a bottle twice. That's exactly it.
The state will, though. The state will. Like, we'll earn heaps of money off this, which is why they're doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing is, in November, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, well, they're talking about putting a temporary roof. So you'll have to go to Bunnings and get those 6 metre by 6 metre tarps and stitch any of them together. How do you get, you'll shoot a rope across, get a rope and just put a big tarp.
Well, maybe we should have it inside. Can we have it at like,
inside where?
In a theatre.
Oh,
the Tivoli.
Where they do the ballet. No, I'm thinking where they do the ballet.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
There's only 4,000 people there.
No, less. There's like 1,000 there.
How about the Suncorp Piazza?
Oh.
Yeah, but you'll have to charge $20,000 a ticket.
Yeah, so.
We don't have anywhere else to watch it, do we?
But my son was saying yesterday the Mayweather fight, to actually sit in the audience for a double is $250,000.
That's right, within 10 rows, front 10 rows.
There you go. Just do that at Suncorp Piazza.
Cool.
Couple of backpackers.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Front page of the Courier Mail this morning, the joke about the prince who walked into the bar.
Yeah, see, when I saw that, I thought he's 42. He'll be stoked he's been asked for ID.
Yeah, but the modern world is, and this is where they're blowing up. They're going, hold on, he's Prince Frederick. He's the next king of Denmark, and he's very famous here in Australia because he's married an Australian girl from Tasmania. Well, he went to the Jade Buddha, and the bouncers had to, by law, because these ridiculous laws, had to say, no, mate, you haven't got any ID. Like,
what, the SWAT team around him wasn't enough to let him in?
Well, let's find out actually what happened, because a mate of mine, Phil Hogan, is the boss, owns Jade Buddha. Hogs, what happened?
How are you, Marto?
Yeah, good, mate.
It was
It was a bit like a scene from Monty Python.
Where so were you? Were you at the club?
No. Well, I was actually at home, but as you know, my brother Gary and I own Jade Buddha, and he wasn't there either. He just left. What actually happened was he turned up at the door, and he actually had seven, police officers with him, but they weren't, necessarily dressed like police officers. They're dignitary protection units, so they looked like plain clothes.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the doorman, and there's more than one, there's three of them, and but, it's late at night or whatever, and they said, look, we want to come in, and this guy does. They said, okay, no worries, where's the guy's ID? And they didn't recognise him, and said, so, can we see the guy's ID? And they said no, and then they said, well, don't you know who he is?
That's fantastic.
Politely said no. I jokingly said to my brother Gary later, I said, if he had Mary with him, he would have waltzed in.
Yeah.
But also, he should, this is a message to Prince Frederick. He needs to get around in the sash with the crown on horseback. he needs to rock up on a horse. With a sword.
So what happened was they said no, and then they said, well, who is he? And they wouldn't say who he was because they're not meant to tell. They just said, they're not meant to say it is. So they ended up in this sort of standoff, and they say, don't you know who it is? And the guy said, no, I don't, mate.
Someone pull a woman's day out?
Or a Google?
So then he said, well, he's royalty, European royalty, and he's married to someone from Australia. So then they rang Gary, and Gary said, gee, it sounds like Prince Frederick. And Gary rang me and said, what do you think? And he said, well, they could also be terrorists, well, we know.
Yeah.
They're guys in plain clothes with guns at the door proposing to be such and such. And
that is true. So,
yeah, and you just don't know, mate, in the modern world.
Because I know, Phil, you get a lot of homeless people claiming to be Prince Charles wandering in and stealing drinks.
Exactly, but also the flip side of the coin was, the next discussion my brother Gary and I had was, we said, well, hang on, if we do let him in, we're breaking the law, and we're breaking the law in five or six coppers.
Oh, yes, it's a sting. It's a sting.
That's a good idea, Marto. So from that point, first I also said, look, we want to know that they're real police and they're not terrorists.
Fair enough.
So they took a picture of the head security guy's card and they sent it to me, and it's fair thing. And I said, I recognise that guy from back when the First Lady of Mexico came in.
Is that a euphemism, Phil? Is that that's who I? You know what? That's who I'd be searching on the way in. The First Lady of Mexico. That's not talcum powder, madam.
So I got back and said, "Yeah, that's a real car. They're the real guys. They're not terrorists. We know that much."
Oh, that's hilarious.
By now, they had Googled him, and they said, "Yep, that's Prince Frederick."
Oh, they did Google. Righto.
But then we still didn't have it cleared by liquor licensing. So. Initially got knocked back, and by the time I got back on them, they said, no, he's gone, and we said, oh, okay, well, that's pity. And then 15 minutes later, he came back again. He was keen to go there.
Yeah,
so did that cost you some free drinks there, Phil?
He went well in the second half, though, Marto. He got into the second crack. He was a bit like the Wallabies last Saturday night.
Yeah, right, let's not talk about it. Phil, what was he drinking, mate?
Sorry?
What does the Prince drink?
Well, he actually drinks Dark and Stormy. Yeah.
That's Bundaberg and ginger beer for anyone.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, rum and ginger beer. It's funny, this is fair dinkum. We've noticed that quite a few people of that ilk, seem to like that type of drink, ginger beer and some sort of rum.
So is that Bundy rum or is that any rum?
Dark and Stormy is generally Bundy, but, that's what he drank. Yeah.
Did he jag one on the way out?
No, mate, he's well behaved. Nice bloke, actually. This is the other funny thing. When he went in, he had all the strangest thing. He's got all these people around him, and he went in, and then he went up to the bar himself, which no one expected him to do. Imagine it's because it was upstairs in Shadow Lounge at Jade Buddha, sort of more nightclub-ish room upstairs. And so the room's packed, and I'm expecting him to go to the bar himself.
the venue manager was about to organise drinks for him, and he walked up, and the guy who served him, Dan, said, "What could I do for you, dude?"
Dude. Hey, dude.
Did he pay with cash or a card?
And he paid, and he paid with cash, from what I gather. And then the venue manager's nickname's Q, raced up to Dan and said, "Geez, you know who that was?" He said, "No, but he's a nice bloke."
Funny accent. Yeah, paid in Lego.
Did the sprinkler.
Will Hogan, the owner of Jade Buddha, telling us about the Prince Frederick of Denmark story. Wow. Good on you, Hoax. Thanks for your time this morning, mate. Give us a shout when John Snow rocks up. He's king of the north, mate. He'll be in fur, all right? He doesn't have any idea.
Matto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
About the start of last year, January 2016, December 2015, around then, I got in contact, well, he got in contact with me, a guy from the Bribie Island community. The Bribie Island Warrigals are an amateur footy team, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2015, one of their players, 41-year-old player, he broke his neck in a tackle.
Oh, dear.
Father of six. We'll hear some of it here. But quite simply, they didn't get any publicity because 2 weeks later, of course, the Broncos played Sunshine Coast and Andrew Ackerman or whatever his name was, he died in. And that got all the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew, who heard himself playing for the Warrigals, had no publicity. And all of a sudden they went, well, we need to make some money for this guy. And they came across the most remarkable scheme. We'll build him a house, because that's what they all knew how to do. There was a lot of tradesmen involved. And I've never seen a community coming together like the Bribie Island Warrigals. They grabbed Nanango, Moray Field, Caboolture, and all came together. Here's some of what went on.
We've been lending a hand to Andrew Grant, a bloke from Bribie Island who suffered some horrific injuries in a rugby league match last year.
By the time our runner got out there and said, "You're all right, Andrew?" And Andrew said, "I can't feel any of my body." So it was pretty horrific. You know, that night in bed, I didn't get much sleep. And I got up in the morning, I said to my wife, I think I'm going to help Andrew out.
The Bribie Island Footy Club have gotten together to build a house, to sell and then raise funds for Andrew and his family and all their ongoing needs.
Alton from Sun City Roofing.
We're buying and installing the roof, the bands, the insulation, patio, fascia and gutter, the whole thing for the roof.
We thought we'd like to help out by building a concrete swimming pool.
Steve from Clarity Pools, thank you so much. Aldo.
Yeah, everybody's behind it. Suncoast, Ashfield, they're going to do the driveway for us. Caldwell Concreting, Dennis Wagner, Narangbar Timbers, Bradman's Windows, Dave Dobson Concreting, Sun City Roofing. The response that we've had has been unbelievable.
Andrew, have you been overwhelmed by the response that this has been getting?
Oh, it's been really great support. I am overwhelmed. Everyone's chipped in and everyone's helping out everywhere. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank Triple M as well.
Nearly 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
It started. Takes a long time to build a house for free. I wrapped up things about 8 weeks ago. I went out there and everyone involved was such good spirit. And the bloke who's driven it all, it almost killed you, Aldo. Can I introduce to everyone, if you haven't met him before, Aldo, well done, mate. It's been a mighty campaign.
Thank you very much. It's been a long haul, but we got there.
So where are we up to right now?
Well, the auction's on Friday. Friday's the auction day. 8 a.m, number 15 Sinclair Place at Ningi's the address. I've got a bit of a barbecue happening there with the Bribie Lions Club, which Marto's met. Looking forward to it.
So yep. The house is all finished. What? It's a four-bedroom?
Yep. Four-bedder, yeah. Swimming pool, double garage.
Aircon.
Aircon's got everything. Everything you need in a house has got.
And bush out the back. It's a quiet cul-de-sac street. If you check Sinclair out, bush out the back, and you're what, a K from the bridge to get over to Bribie. Sandstone Point Hotel just up the road. Yep.
What a buy. Everything's absolutely brand new and been done to the highest specifications. Yep. And how many kids does Andrew have again, Aldo?
He's got six. I'm actually working with one of them today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jacob, his sons, and myself are working together, so it's good.
Oh, nice one. And let's remember, the money is... Andrew's not moving in there. The money is for him so they can transform his house, his car, fix everything up. It's been going a while.
We just want to get him comfortable. Andrew's not going to be able to work again. So, you know, somewhere along the line, we had to make some good money for him, and this is it. So
what do you reckon it'll go for? What are you hoping? What's the reserve?
I haven't really set a reserve yet. I've got to sit down with LJ Hooker in the next couple of days, and we're going to work it out. We're sort of monitoring on what's happening with everything. You know, I've got a figure in my head. If we can get around the $500,000 mark, we're going to make about $300,000 for Andrew, and I'll be happy with that. So I'm sort of, you know, I'm excited about it coming to an end, but I'm really nervous about it as well.
I bet you know.
I keep getting, you know, a feeling, you know, thinking about what happens if it doesn't sell, you know.
It'll sell.
Which LDA hooker is it, Aldo?
Sorry?
Which LDA hooker is it?
It's LJ Hooker at Bribie. They've been fantastic. The whole of LJ Hooker, like even you know, the headquarters in Brisbane have been helping out with the marketing and everything. You know, so the whole of LJ Hookers have been really, really good.
Give the address one more time. There'll be people listening to us who are in the market for a home, and you will not buy a better house in Brisbane than this one.
It was done with love.
Sure was. It's number 15 Sinclair Place at Nyngee. It's along the Bribie Road. There's a little estate just off to the side, and it's a beautiful street. It's just one street, you know, all nice houses. And like Marto said, you've got bush out the back, and it looks really good.
Hey, how are places renting up there?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, they go up there. Yeah, you're getting good rent money. Yep.
So out there, we've got to ask, how is Andrew going?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, I saw him last week, and, you know, he's going all right, and I'm going to try and take him to the footy on the weekend with me. I'm involved with the Sunshine Coast Falcons up the sunny coast, so I'll take him up there, and he'll have a good time up there.
Excellent. Okay, Aldo. Yep. You can see the house. We'll chuck up some images and a link there, triplem.com.au. It is on this Friday, the auction, to help out Andrew and his family.
Can Aldo, I check something, Ed? You know, just a little trick. That is the 20,000 first homeowners loan still available?
On offer. Yeah, that's still on offer. That's still
what would happen
in
if you helped your kids out? Like if somebody said, I wouldn't mind my kids get, would they get the home loan or is that illegal?
It has to be in the kid's name. It has to be in the kid. We're vaguely off topic now, but yes, it is still available. $20,000 is up for grabs. Marto, I'm thinking one of your children might be in the market all of a sudden.
Get him out of the house.
Everything you need as well on the Facebook page as well. Thank you so much, Aldo. We'll check in with you on Friday.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Go well, mate.
Something really disconcerting happened, and I actually wasn't quite sure how to deal with it at the time. As you know, I'm a single mum. I have three teenage boys. We live in our house with our big dog, and everything is quite secure. Now, when I go to bed, I am the last person to lock up the house, and I make sure that everyone is in and the cameras are on and, you know, we're all set to go. Mm. And I know this because I turn off the lights as I go and I climb into bed.
So now you've told Brisbane you are ready. So you have large samurai hunting swords, all four of you.
Yeah, mate, I've got cameras and I've got a dog and I'm locked up. Yeah. So I'm all good. Like I take my own and my children's safety very, very seriously. But I woke up about 1:10 this morning and my bedroom light was on, the hall light was on, and the lounge room light as I'm walking through. And I'm lying in bed and I'm thinking, my God, what is going on? Like who, what, where,
how? Did you say the dog?
No.
That'd be funny if you can check the cameras. Did the dog go through? Go, I've got it right where I want it now.
So I get up out of bed because I know that I turned everything off and I'm thinking, how are these lights on? So I walk and the first thing I do, it is spooky.
Grab your phone.
I go and check on my kids and I see that my middle son, whose room is closest to mine, is in bed snoring, happily snoring away.
He's the biggest worry, so that's good that he was in bed.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be one missing, it's him.
Yeah, that's right. My eldest one, happily ensconced downstairs, doing whatever he does. And I go up to check on my youngest son, my 12-year-old, and he's not in his bed. And then I'm starting to freak out, but the dog's sitting there also snoring, so I'm figuring, nothing terrible could have happened because the dog's still there and he would have notified me if someone had come into the house. So then I walk downstairs and I'm following this passages of lights on and there I find my youngest son asleep on the couch. He slept walked. Is that what you call it? Sleepwalked?
Yes.
Slept walked?
Slept walked, yes.
So he must have got up, turned all the lights on, went downstairs and passed out on the lounge. It's the most disconcerting thing because as a mother, I'm thinking, oh my God, what if he'd walked out the front door? What if he'd fallen in the pool? What if he'd gone down the road? Mm. What, you know?
If he'd fallen in the pool, I believe, because they're half with it. He was with it enough to turn the lights on.
Well, exactly right.
He would automatically swim and wake himself up.
Do you reckon?
Gee, how embarrassing. Correct. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, man. But look, my kids are sleepwalkers. I've been used to it.
Oh, they've been sleepwalkers before.
Yeah, they have, but not like that. Like not where they've managed to achieve something. Like normally they just kind of get out of bed and start rattering on and then you turn them around.
Like, yeah, you turn them around and put them back
to bed. And I was able to do that with my youngest. He was conscious, semi-conscious enough for me to kind of walk him back upstairs and put him back into bed. But I just, It still really kind of freaked me out.
I'm sure I've heard of ones like people making sandwiches from the fridge while being sleepwalking.
What if you got in a car?
No, I've heard people achieving things like doing the washing. I've heard Stillnox.
Wasn't that was the knock on Stillnox that there were some people that were affected to the point where they were painting the front door and doing
Grant Hackett playing the piano or whatever he did to that piano.
In the nappy. If you've dealt with a sleepwalker in your life, who is the sleepwalker and what did they do? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you've woken yourself up. You think, hang on a second, I don't live in Perth.
Why can't you teach them to paint the house or something useful?
Wouldn't that be good? Oh, great, rather than freak your mother out.
Mm.
That little storm, it wasn't very wide, but there was a few pockets came through last night. I wonder if there was an atmospheric change.
I don't know.
I don't know, but Rochelle from Slacks Creek, who's the sleepwalker in your life?
It's my brother. We used to have ice cream after dinner on Friday night, and my parents would open up the ice cream and go, who's eaten the ice cream? Someone's eaten the ice cream. And all of us kids would go, oh, not me. You know, it wasn't me. And, so Mr. Nobody ate it again. And they sort of just went through this for months and months. And one night, Mum and I were up watching a late night movie, and we heard this noise in the kitchen, and we went to investigate. And my brother is sitting on the floor with the ice cream and a spoon, and just sitting there asleep but eating.
Wow.
And so we asked him what he's doing. He's like, nothing. I'm like, you're eating the ice cream? No.
Sleep eating.
I'm good.
How fast asleep, Rochelle.
He washed the spoon, put the spoon back in the drawer, went back to bed, had no memory of it in the morning.
Wow.
That's Mark Brennan, any
I think we all know what that is.
Yeah. That is horrific.
That is horrific.
The theory, you'll have to get some more ice cream.
Thanks, Rochelle.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Jamie of Brighton, sleepwalking stories, what you got?
Richard, a guy I was at school with, so bad at sleepwalking, we had to lock him in his study, and then one student was responsible to unlock him if there was a fire. But one night he cut his own hair. Yeah, boarding school. He cut his own hair in his sleep, so he had two massive bald patches above both ears.
Lucky to have ears.
Holy moly, Jamie!
Before we locked him in his room, we used to find him in like the first square cricket pitch or the grandstand or the rugby ground. He would go for long walks.
Wow,
jeez, Jamie, that's great. Okay, Donna from Birkdale. Hey, Donna, who was the sleepwalker?
It was also my son Robin. So I have four boys, and it was the eldest of my four children, who was 13 at the time.
Yeah, wow.
So we were in a high-rise apartment at the Gold Coast.
Yes.
Yeah. So fairly secure. You think, you know, you're locked off. You can only get off on certain levels in the building. And same thing. My husband was away, so I was there. I put the boys to bed, closed the door. And my eldest boy had bugged me to go surfing the next morning. And I said, all right, you set the alarm. You get me up. I'll come take you down the beach. So that was all good. And I was having a nice sleep. And I vaguely thought I heard a phone ringing. And I said, oh, no, it'd be nothing. And then I heard this thundering on the front door, and I think, oh my god, what's that? So I get up, and here's this long-haired guy with the skateboard cap on back the front. This is like 20 to 2 in the morning. Pizza. And here's my son with tears rolling down his face in his jammy shorts. And he had sleptwalked, got out of the building, got out of our unit, got in the elevator, got all the way down and woken up outside the building and couldn't get back in. He had no key card.
Wow.
How did the skateboard dude get back in?
Well, he had a key. Apparently, he was staying there.
Oh,
and he'd been trying to ring me, and good mother that I am, you know, I slept through the phone.
You can teach yourself to do that.
Yeah, well, I've apparently mastered that one. So, yeah, this guy said, I'll come back and we'll play Xbox. And my poor son, he was just a mess. And even better, when he came back in, he wanted me to leg rope him to his bed so he didn't do it again.
Oh, that's brilliant.
He's cute.
Poor leg little rope thing.
To your
Thank
bed.
You,
How
Donna.
Cool.
Oh, that would be awful. Daniel of Maroochydore, what happened with the sleepwalking?
How you doing? It was when I was quite young fella. I'd sleepwalked into the lounge and decided to relieve myself all over the front of the TV.
Oh, it's like a urinal, isn't it?
Wow.
I went back to bed and went back to sleep and knew nothing about it until the morning when Mum was cleaning the TV.
Did the TV continue to work?
Yeah, no worries.
What was on?
No worries.
What was on? Was it Yummy Mummies or was it something that deserves that sort of treatment? What was on at the time, Daniel?
I don't think anything was on. I think it was
just,
thought you'd go.
I reckon that'd be far more common than we think, that people are kind of half awake and think they're going into the toilet but maybe into a cupboard.
Do you want to do that tomorrow? Do you want to, because that's a great game to play, because I've got a story. Oh, I don't want to ruin it, but I know of two best friends that broke up over a non-toilet, I think it's a toilet incident.
Did it involve, I've got one with a suitcase. He weed into my suitcase because we used to share a lot of rooms on footy tours.
Which wallaby was it?
No, I can't. He's really close.
This is great. Okay, we'll do what have you weed on tomorrow. Yeah. First,
and Brendan, I didn't say weed.
No, I know.
So where did someone think was a toilet tomorrow? Okay. That's great news.
What a show it's been.
Okay, we'll take all discharge tomorrow. Hey, Daniel from Maroochydore, for weighing on your TV, mate. You're going to Placebo. They're playing the convention centre. Right. Tickettech.com.au for tickets. You're off for free. Well done, Dan.
Oh, awesome. Cheers.
I love talking to this guy because he gets to travel all over the world and find out the very latest in techs and gadgets. I am talking about Trevor Long, who is our tech expert. Good morning, Trevor.
Very good morning.
Where are you right now?
I've just landed back in Australia after 4 days in China.
Ooh, what were you doing?
So I was actually over there looking at how Huawei, have you heard of Huawei, the mobile phone company?
Yeah, spelled H-U-W-E-I.
They said to me, because I had about 4 hours spare in my week, they said, go and check out the tech markets. Now, I went to this joint, and if you can just imagine Queen Street Mall, 800 metres, a kilometre of mall, and either side of the mall is just mobile phone stores, dodgy mobile phone stores, right? So there's an Apple Genius bar that supports Samsung phones. So clearly not legit.
Oh, no, not legit, no.
The thing was, I went through the doors into the actual buildings, and you end up in like a big shopping centre. Now, imagine the biggest Westfield shopping centre you've been to, and then put six of them side by side, and imagine there's nothing but technology inside them. One level for speakers, one level for laptops, one level for mobile phones, level upon level of just the little bits and pieces inside phones and computers. They reckon in this mall, in this whole area, you could buy all the components to build your own iPhone.
So you can buy all the components at this place in China, and because you're already in China, you could probably find a 12-year-old to put it together for you and pay them $3 an hour like Apple does.
Got 10-year-olds available for that, Ed.
Wow, even better. Free market labour. A couple of tech advances. Mato, I know, wants to talk about Wi-Fi on planes. Where's that at, mate?
Yeah, is this about to occur?
So Qantas and Virgin have both got two planes each flying domestically, and they're going to have their whole fleets wired for Wi-Fi by the end of next year. But Virgin have got one up on Qantas, which, you know, I'm a Virgin fan, but it's a bit unusual for Qantas to be behind them. Virgin are putting it on their international planes as well. So when you fly Qantas internationally, you can't get Wi-Fi. And to be honest, that's when you want it most, when you're on a 13-hour flight.
Mm-hmm. So you'll only have to turn it off just for landing and takeoff. But other than that, you are on your phone the whole time.
Do you know what? For landing and takeoff, you can use Wi-Fi on your phone on these Qantas and Virgin planes that have got Wi-Fi.
So game changer.
You'd be sitting at Brisbane Airport at the gate on your phone, checking your emails, and up in the air you can be watching Netflix. And as you land, you can still be watching Netflix.
Can I ask, because they always tell us to turn off our phones, is there any risk to the technology of the pilot?
I'm just going to make a bold statement here and say absolutely not. I've seen blokes sitting next to me on a plane on their phones, you know, as we descend, actually on their mobile, like with the mobile signal on. Now, I'm a bit of a stickler. I'm going to stick with the technology and they tell us to do. I'm not going to turn that on. But I've never seen an incident, and I think Mythbusters has done a little bit of work on it that says, nah.
It's rubbish.
Okay, he's Trevor Long, tech expert from EFTM.com.au. Mate, we will speak tech with you very soon.
Cheers, guys.
All thanks to the Volkswagen Amarok V6 turbo diesel Automato. Ed and Robin.
Flu epidemic. We spoke to the Health Minister, Cameron Dick, who said that Queensland has had a record number of cases this year, Robin, a record number of call-outs for
home doctors,
and then he told us about an excellent service, which I'd never heard of, called 1 or 13 Health. You spell that out on your phone, where you can speak to a nurse if you think you've got the flu. Now then we had a call from, was it Adam, was it Brenda, what was his name?
I believe it was Jason from Morayfield.
Jason from Morayfield, a really interesting guy, called up And we're talking about flu remedies. And he said he'd done a study some years ago. This is what he told us.
What we found under controlled conditions was the flu and the cold are two very, very different beasts. But both of them have the same problem. They both hate fresh garlic and they both hate fresh ginger and they both hate fresh lemon.
Wow.
They won't go near it. In the petri dishes, all under controlled laboratory conditions, neither the cold nor the flu virus would go anywhere near the natural ingredients.
That is fascinating. Because that's science. That's saying to you that in the body, that when you have those things like pumping through, then the virus can't attack.
It's exactly what it's saying.
And none of us have had the flu yet.
No, we haven't. And I have been feeling a little bit under the weather last couple of days, a little bit under the weather. And so
there's no wood in this studio.
Just tap your head.
I've got wood in my around my life. And
don't encourage him.
So my wife marched me down to the she marched me down to the fruit store and fruit and vegetable store and we bought all ginger, garlic, and she made
You can't get the flu, you got the very pregnant wife.
Yes, a very pregnant woman. And she made her own, she sort of improvised a soup from one of her, cookbooks, which was full of garlic and ginger. And it was fantastic.
Oh, was it?
Oh, my goodness.
What flavor, what delicious. Stock did you use? Was it chicken?
Chicken stock, but it was delicious. It had chicken in there, full of vegetables and all of these ingredients. And you did feel afterwards, we both had a big bowl of it.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you feel? And she said, I feel like my insides are expanding. And I said, are you having the baby? She said, no.
What?
I want someone to make this for us. I'm no good at that stuff.
Who have we got, Brent?
Remember Jace said that his, at where'd he go, Kooburu High, Con Contas was his science teacher.
Yes, the Greek bloke.
He said that's where he got, originally he got the idea from a Greek bloke who they used to make a soup up. Well, that's where we need to go because we're friends of the Greek Club. Get down there.
We love the Greek Club.
Get them to whip it up.
They'd be able to do that for us.
I might get a garlic, ginger, and lemon tiramisu while I'm there.
Ooh, do you think you could add it to stuff? You could make like a sauce and you could have like that on a calamari.
Calamari. Oh, wow. Oh my God. Anti-flu calamari.
How could that be? You're talking.
That we're really talking. Let's talk to them. We'll have the Greek Club on tomorrow to give us. And what we'll do is we'll get a recipe that the whole of Brisbane can use to fight the flu.
Okay, so I want it in a soup and I want it in a sauce.
Okay.
Because if we put it in those two applications, you could pretty much have it all the time.
And a body scrub.
A body scrub.
Okay.
And something to put in my hooker.
Okay.
Your hooker.
Yeah.
I think you've combined Turkish and Greek now.
Can I vape it? Am I allowed to vape it?
No. But we legit will do that. Okay, we'll legitimately do get the Greek Club on, get them to give us a recipe, and maybe we can try some. And
okay.
Yeah. And then we'll have a soup kitchen and we'll give it to homeless people. Because
they'd
never
be a sick homeless person ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever. Okay, it's Brisbane's best flu remedy, and it's going to be tomorrow here
saving
on the show.
Lives.
Do we know they actually want to do that?
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Marto, Ed and Robin, new Triple M.
The Volkswagen Amarok V6 Turbo Diesel Sportline Auto. From $55,990 drive away. Conditions at volkswagen.com.au.